Now, some of us go to Facebook. I mean, we are on Facebook. And the other day, I saw somebody post a phrase that perhaps you have heard people say. The phrase said, "Only God can judge me." You know, sometimes people say, "Only God," you know, when they say that, they mean is, you know, they don't want anybody else to judge them. And yeah, because we tend to judge people here and there. Now, but I'm just thinking about that phrase. And maybe you guys can figure out the mic over there for me. I'm just making a judgment call right now. Because it sounds weird. See, the whole idea of only God can judge me is partially true. It's not totally true because we make judgment call all the time. Yes, we know that God is the ultimate judge, but there's judgment all over the place. You see, we live in a place that we have authority figures. You know, we also, every society have judges, and they will judge you. So you see, that phrase, "Only God can judge me," is not totally true. Yes, God will judge you, but also people will judge you. You see, there are people that will judge you, evaluate your work. Why do you think people will get employee of the month? That's a judgment call. I mean, have you thought about that? He or she excel better than everybody else based on the behavior, based on what that particular individual did. You got judges all over the place. When you play sports, there's always somebody judging everything that's done in the field. You call that an umpire or a referee. This Judge Judy. There are judges all over the place. So you see, when people say only God can judge me, that's a lie. Yes, God will judge you, but there are other people. I mean, you want to know how that's true? Just go 50 miles an hour here in Victory Boulevard, and there's going to be a judge behind you. You might call that a cop. And if you get fresh with him or her, you might end up even deep trouble, and somebody else will judge you based on your behavior. I mean, you know, it's like you're not a very good driver because here's the record. That's a judgment call. You can say, "No, but I believe I'm a good driver." It doesn't matter what you believe. The record is showing differently. You see, there's judgment all over the place. Sometimes we are taken to court for any particular reason, and we have to see the face of a judge. And many of us get nervous because, you know what I mean? It's like you don't want to be, somebody's going to tell you whether you're going to be innocent or you're going to be guilty. There's so many judgment calls around us. I mean, you know, when we think about judgment, we do know that God will judge the world. And we know that the Bible talks about this judgment day that's coming. You see, when we think about God, most people don't like to think about God as a judge. I mean, for most people, we want a God that will answer our prayers, that will just give us whatever we want. I mean, we want a God that will just that protect us when we're in trouble, that will provide when we are in need. But we want a God of love. And you know, in that society, love is just like, just let us do whatever we want. We want a God of grace. I mean, we want to preach about love and grace, but we sometimes, church, we neglect that God is also a God of justice and that He is the ultimate judge. I mean, we neglect that once in a while. And the passage that I want to share with you, we have read it so many times, and I think we just fly through and we don't really pay attention to what we read. We know John 3:16, "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life." And we just leave it right there. But I want to get into 17 and 18 today. So you see that, yes, God is the God of grace and love and mercy, but He's also the God of justice. He's called the righteous judge. See, we might not understand much about the whole idea of Jesus as the Savior. We might not understand or know, but the moment that Jesus Christ came to earth, the moment that the Messiah appeared, let me just give it to you. The moment Jesus appeared, you know what else appears? Grace and judgment. And you say, "Well, how is that possible? How is like grace?" It's almost like the opposite. You gotta be confused. The text, that's what it tells you. Let me say it again. The moment Jesus Christ came to earth, two things happened. Grace, the God's grace appeared on earth, and also God's judgment appeared on earth. John 3:17. Let's go there for a moment. You know, we know Jesus is the Savior of the world. He's the Savior of anybody who believes according to what Scripture teaches us. Let's go to John 3:17 and 18. Says, God, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn. Some translation would say to judge. That wasn't the purpose of Jesus coming to earth, to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. We understand that. Check out verse 18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Did you catch that? Whoever believes in the Son is not condemned, but if you do not believe, so there's a judgment call already being made. The moment Jesus Christ appeared on earth, judgment, God's judgment came. God's verdict happened. And this is what God said. You can be saved or be condemned. And God ain't changing his mind. Because you can come to God and say, but I've done so many great works. Yeah. That's what's... But you know, I went to the best church. And God said, yeah. That's not really going to matter to God. But you know, the whole idea, that's a determining factor. That's a deciding factor when it comes to God's judgment right here. God has already given the world a verdict. Be saved or be condemned. The moment Jesus Christ appeared, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. If you believe in him, you are saved. But if you do not believe in the Son of God, he says you stand condemned already. You might not even know where you were heading, but that's what the verdict, God's verdict already says. That's where you're heading, because you refuse to believe in the solution that God provided for the world, Jesus Christ. You see, when you go through the dictionary to define the word verdict, it says it's a decision made by a jury in trial. So God has already made his decision. God's love the word that he gave. In other words, God already made his part. He gave so that whoever believes in this gift, Jesus, might have life. If you don't believe, then there's the opposite. So again, there's two things. There's two paths, believing or not believing. There's no in between. I have believed, you don't believe then. I believe, you either believe or you don't. You're either going to be saved or you're not. Perhaps you don't want to hear, you know, we got to go back to the Word, what he's teaching, what he's saying. God has already made his decision. See, he gave Jesus. That's the decision for the world. You either embrace him or you don't. When you embrace him, when you believe in him, you are saved. When you don't embrace him, you stand condemned already. So God already made a judgment. Yes, there's a bigger judgment coming, but he already made the judgment. The verdict has already happened. The moment that Jesus Christ walked on earth, grace appeared for those who want it, but also judgment came if you do not want it. Are you with me? You understand why? Okay, so we're cool then. John 3:36, read that one so you see what the Gospel of John tells us, what John, the beloved disciple of Jesus, said. 3:36, he says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Eternal life, you can call that heaven. Whoever believes, let's believe again, in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's judgment, God's wrath, remains in that person. You see, either believe or you don't. You either get grace, but you don't want grace. You get judgment. God's wrath. You don't want God's wrath, believe me. That's the scary part of Revelation. You don't want that part. God has made his decision already, and it's called Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the defining element when it comes to judgment. Jesus Christ is the deciding factor when it comes to judgment. I mean, everything boils down to that, to Jesus Christ. He can save you, but if you don't want to be saved, then he's going to take you to the other, and you're going to be condemned based on what you did with Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave Jesus for the world, but
Only a few believe. That's why even though he's the savior of the world, not the whole world will be saved. That's why the whole idea of this gospel called universalism is flawed. It's a lie. Universalism will teach you that at the end, everyone will be saved. There's even a book out there that's very dangerous called Love Wins. Jesus wins. Love Wins says, oh, it doesn't matter what you do. At the end, everybody will be saved. But what do you do with that text that says that you still need to believe? Because if you don't believe, you are condemned already. So how are you going to tell me that love... I mean, you're going to switch the Bible now to make it more palatable, more tangible for us? Because you don't like that scary part. We don't like God as a judge. Why is he going to hold us accountable how we live our lives? We don't like that part. But you see, the verdict of God has already been made. Be saved, or you don't want salvation, then you're going to get condemnation. God, like I said, He has already made judgment, and that's called Jesus at the end of time. He is the defining factor. He is the defining line. It's boils down to what are you going to do with Jesus? You have to make a choice. You have to make a decision with Jesus. You either believe in him or you don't. There's no in between. See, in John 9, 35 through 41, Jesus met this man who was born blind. And then he provided healing for the man. And then the religious leaders came into the picture and they were like asking the man that was born blind, what did he do to you? He said, well, he spit in the ground, he made mud and put it in my eyes, and he told me to go wash. I did, and then I can see. And then they would say, that man is not from God because he violated the Sabbath. That's religion for you, by the way. Like, there's a miracle that happened, and all the religious leaders are concerned is that, oh, he did it on the Sabbath. How dare he? Instead of like, praise God that this man was born blind, now he can see. They brought it to the temple because they could not believe. What did he do to you? Like three times they asked him. He said to the religious leaders, I told you already. And they would tell the man that was blind, that man is a sinner. And the man that was blind said, well, if it's a sinner or not, I do not know. What I do know is that I was blind and now I see because of him. And then they called the parents because they did not believe that he was really born blind. And the parents are like, they brought him to the synagogue and it's like, is that really your son? So yeah. Was he really born blind? Yeah. Well, how did he see? They said, well, ask him. He's already an adult. And it's like, I mean, the whole picture in chapter 9, finally, the blind man says, you know, this is remarkable. He said to the religious leaders, we know that God does not listen to sinners. But we know that he listens to people that do his will. If this man was not from God, he can do nothing. And they got ticked at him. And then they said to him, how dare you lecture us? Get out of a synagogue. They kicked him out. Then Jesus found them later on. And this is what Jesus told the man that was blind. Verses 35 through 41. Let's read that in John 9. Jesus, in this text, he even said that he came to earth for judgment. Verse 35. Jesus heard that they threw him out of the synagogue. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found it, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? That was a messianic title that Jesus loved to use, the Son of Man. And then he said, who is he, Lord? So he did not even know who healed him. Who is the Son of Man? He had no idea who Jesus truly was. Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And what did he do? He worshipped him. There's a man that was healed and then finally believed in Jesus when he saw Jesus. And says, and he worshiped the Lord. And then Jesus said this, for judgment I have come into the world so that the blind will see and those who see will become blind. So Jesus, what are you? You came to heal? You came to bring healing and sight to the blind, but also to blind those who claim to see. So, I mean, that's what he does. He says, for judgment I come to the world so that the blind will see and those who see will become blind. Now the Pharisees got offended by that.
you know, they got offended. Jesus loved to offend people, especially those ones that they thought they got the act together. Then the Pharisees who were with some of the Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim that you can see, your guilt remains." So in other words, yeah, you claim that you see, but you're really blind. And the reason that I'm here, for those ones that are really spiritual blind, I can restore the sight. But you, because you think you can see, I'm going to blind you even more. His grace, or his judgment. His salvation, or his also condemnation. That's why Jesus is the dividing factor. He is the deciding factor of the whole thing of God. At the end of the day, even when the big judgment day comes, it's going to boil down to Jesus. Who is he? What do you do with Jesus? I mean, the Bible talks about him. His grace, God's grace revealed, but he's also God's judgment. And perhaps, if you were here around when I did a sermon about Jesus, the foundation stone, he can be your foundation stone he can be the stone for a foundation, or he can be the stone that causes men to stumble. Based on what you do with him. So in other words, you say, okay, I'm going to get Jesus to be the foundation of my life, but if he ain't the foundation of your life, he becomes the boulder that's going to cause you to stumble. According to what you see, I lay in Zion a stone, a precious stone, cornerstone, and he who believes in him don't have to worry about judgment or anything because you have that foundation. But if you do not want Jesus as a foundation, then he's going to become the stone that is going to make you trip all the way to hell. Jesus is both grace and judgment. I mean, for some of us, we almost like, well, that's the opposite. Yeah, because it boils down. I mean, God loved you. He gave you a solution, but you say, no, I don't want it. Thank you very much, God. And then it's not going to help you. There's no in between. You're either with him or without. That man that was born blind believed in the Lord. Look what he did. He worshipped him once he realized, wow, Jesus, you are the one who brought me healing. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders of Jesus' day, they were still blind. They're still expecting a Messiah. And Jesus said, you don't believe even when you see the deeds that I do. What else do you want? He finally told them one time, the Bible you're reading, it tells you about me. I'm here, and yet you don't even believe in me. It's like, how is that possible? Because they were so blind. And Jesus, that's what he said, I came to restore sight to the blind, or to blind those who see. Jesus always says so many things that, you know, it caused people just to stand in awe. Some of the many things he said. Jesus is God's grace to those who believe, but he is God's condemnation to those who do not believe. Now, when you think about what it means to believe in Jesus, sometimes we don't really understand what it means to believe in Jesus, but I saw this illustration, and I just want to bring it over here so we can have a better grasp of what it means to believe in Jesus. I mean, I can say to you, do you believe that a chair can hold my weight? And you say, some of you, yeah, you're nodding. You know, I can preach about this chair. But, you know, it's really nice. I mean, I guess you can discuss the color. It's gray. You know, I can really research this chair. I mean, from top to bottom, you know, because, you know, I went to school to learn about this chair. And I can preach about it. I can tell you where it was made, how, you know, what kind of metal it has. It's a folding chair. You know, I can go on a mission trip and even get people to sit on that chair. I mean, you know, and that'd be a great thing. You know what I mean? Like, Daryl, would you mind? You know, I can just preach to Daryl, you know, and it's like, you know, tell him about how wonderful that chair is and that he needs it. And, you know, I go and, you know, hang out with Daryl, but then finally bring him. Now, you guys think that chair can hold Daryl? You think it can hold him? So let's try it, Daryl. Sit down here for a while. Yeah, sit down. Well, I mean, that's awesome. You see, I told him that he can benefit from this chair, and he sat on it, but I didn't. So thank you, man. I appreciate it. So, you know, we can talk about this chair. So I went on a mission trip and got Daryl to be able to sit on that. Praise God. He got to really know the benefit. He benefited from sitting on this chair. So do you think that if I just preach about it, I can learn how to say chair in Greek and Hebrew? I mean, that'd be a great thing, but is it going to do me any good? I'm just believing that he can truly hold me. You know, and I even got somebody to sit on it, and praise the Lord. But the then I'm just going around. That chair, it's not going to be true that it's going to hold me until I finally decide to place my weight on it and sit on it. And the same way applies to believing in Jesus. I mean, you might believe that he's the Lord, but you have not sat on him. You have not relied on him to be the Lord and Savior of your life. There's a lot of people that, yeah, they believe that he can do amazing things, but we're here. Believing is not just something, you know, I can believe and do mission trip and bring people over there, sit on Jesus, but if I'm only preaching and I'm not taking the time to just come and place my trust in Christ, it's not going to help me. Now, there's no question, it really holds me. Before, oh yeah, I can. Now it is, I'm here. The same way applies with believing in Jesus, to have faith in Christ. Knowing about the chair won't help you. Sitting on it will.
Amen.
When you place yourself on Jesus, you truly believe in him, then you won't have to worry about judgment day. See, judgment is not for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the beauty of it. How the world can escape that awful day that's coming, the day of the Lord, the day of judgment, is by believing in Jesus, by placing your trust in him as the Lord and Savior. Like the blind man says, like, I believe. And he just worshiped the Lord that day when he met him for the first time. See, people can escape the horrifying judgment of God if they just believe in Jesus as he is portrayed in the scripture. Romans 8, verse 1 says this. Therefore, there is now no judgment, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. You're here, and that's Christ. You're out of it. Now there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. They have placed their trust. They have believed in Jesus as the Messiah, as the one that God sent to save us. And we embrace them as Savior. That's why there's no condemnation. You and I, my friends, don't have to worry about judgment day. You and I don't even have to be scared of Revelation. The bad part of Revelation is not even for us. For those who are not in Christ Jesus, they have to worry about that. But if you are in Christ, you already believe in Christ as the Messiah, you're already sitting on him. You're relying on him. I love that phrase, in Christ. So many times you did a study on the whole idea of the preposition in Christ. We're born into Christ. For those who believe in Christ, you were all baptized into Christ. And there's no Greek and Gentiles, female or male, because we are one in Christ. That's believing in him. And so if you are in Christ, you don't have to worry about judgment day. Because we already have that his grace. Because we believe in him as the Bible portrays him. You see, judgment or condemnation is only for those who are not in Christ. When I think about this sermon, you see, our decisions, the choices we make are real. Last Sunday, this woman made a bad choice. And it cost her life and the life of this old man, Victory and Travis. Because that's a choice she made. And you would have been driving the road, you would have been the victim of that choice. Our choices are real. Now, some of the choices we make, they have drastic consequences. I mean, somebody died. Two people died because of that. Some choices, I mean, they might not be like, well, you know, just what am I going to eat? The food wasn't that great. I mean, you can live with that. But there's some choices that really have, I mean, it's almost like the choices we make, it might be determining where you're going to end up the rest of your life. People make choices. Who am I going to marry? You know, and some of it, like I said, choices that we make daily are very, very, very real. Some can be painful. So you and I have to choose what we're going to do with Jesus. God already gave Jesus. He's not going to change his mind. Jesus is it. There's no other solution. There's no other prophets or angels coming to earth to announce anything else. Nothing else needs to be announced. Jesus came and that's it. Now, the gospel message is, what are you and I going to do with Jesus? Because for us, he can be our salvation or he might be our condemnation. Judgment is already here. God has given us the verdict. God has made his decision. Now we, you and I, need to make ours. What are you going to do with Jesus? That's going to be at the end of the time. I'm hoping, if you do not know Jesus as the Lord and Savior, that you make the right decision. You must choose wisely. Because if you don't choose the right way, you are going to end up in hell. And it's going to boil down because you chose to go there. You see, God's not sending anybody there. He said already, whoever believes is saved. Who doesn't believe, then that's where you're going to go. Two ways. So, judgment has already happened. It's happening right now based on Jesus Christ. He is here, and you and I need to make a choice with him. At the end of time, God's going to ask you, what church do you go to? How many mission trips do you go to? How many people do you save for the Lord? How many members do your church have? He's not going to ask you any of that stuff. What he's going to ask you is, what do you do with my son? Remember the words, who are you? I never knew you, because you did not know Jesus. You cannot stand before God. And that's what I'm trying to tell people. You need to know him so that he will represent you. And Jesus will say, hey, they're all pure. I already paid for them. I said, thank God for that. If nobody has paid for your sin, you're still under God's judgment and wrath. So what are you going to do with Jesus? I'm hoping that you will choose him, that you will embrace. And I know many of you have already done that. If you're still thinking about, you don't know where you stand with Jesus, don't wait. Because life can be taken away in a moment. And we want to make sure that if it happens to us, that we go right now, that we already know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the one that can really save us from this wrath of God that's going to come to the world. Two things. You're either saved or you're condemned. You either get God's grace or you either get God's judgment. Which one is it going to be? And if I be Hulk Hogan, we say, what you going to do when the Jesus mania will come for you? You need to know what you're going to do. I don't know where you stand right now. You need to make a decision for Christ if you have not done yet. Because, you know, I don't want to be held accountable by God. I said, well, you never told people about me. I got to make sure I tell people, whether they want to hear that or not. So what are we going to do with Jesus Christ? He is judgment deciding factor. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for loving us, that you gave us Jesus, so that through his death we can have life. Lord, many of us have already embraced Jesus. We have sat on that chair already. Lord, we have believed that he's the one that can help us, can save us. We also believe that he's love, grace, mercy, but he's also righteous. He's the judge. And thank you that for the Christians, it's only going to be an evaluation to get rewards in heaven. We don't even have to worry about that really awful judgment that's going to come to those who do not know Jesus. Those who pierce them, those who will have to see the face of the judge, and they wouldn't have anybody to defend them. Father, thank you, because we already have somebody who's going to go before us, and that's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you that through him we can be saved. May we always hang on to him. May we never let go of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Even when times get tough, may we continue to believe. To believe to the point that we are in Christ, that we are in you. Because only through you, Lord, we can be saved. There's so many peoples and families that we have that they do not know. They're still refusing to believe in Jesus. They don't even believe that he's the Messiah or that he's really God in the flesh. It's our job to tell them that they need to choose Jesus today so that they can prepare for tomorrow. They can prepare for eternity, because he is the deciding factor of where we're going to spend eternity, either with you or without you. Lord, I pray that daily we can always hang on to you, no matter what happens. Thank you that you are love, grace, and mercy, but you're also the judge. And if we are with you, we are saved. We give you the honor and the glory, and we pray, Lord, that if there's somebody here today that doesn't know you, that person can come to know you quick before it's too late. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.